from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the Better Lawns and Gardens, the second hour. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. They're both on the same day this year. Mm-hmm. And then also to a Happy New Year. We certainly appreciate everyone out there. It's been a great year, and we're looking forward to 2025.
Yes.
And lots of gardening goals and excitement to happen. And if you missed the first hour, you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on iHeartRadio or everywhere you listen to a podcast, including IMDb, Audioboom, Spotify, Deezer, all of the networks out there. You can listen everywhere. And we just want to wish everyone happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we just certainly appreciate them all out there. Let's see, did John Denver, is he going to join us for Christmas this year? And the dirty word of the day is chill hour. And this, my appreciation goes out to, for the dirty word of the day, goes to Daniel J. Leonard, the University of Florida IFAS Calhoun County Extension Director, and the Agricultural, Horticultural, Natural Resource Agent, for his article on chill hours. It was wonderful and very easy to understand. So the easiest way to measure cold and its impact on plants is through a unit of measurement known as a chill hour. In its simplest iteration, a chill hour is an hour of time during which the thermometer dips below 45 degrees Fahrenheit. These chilling hours are vital to agriculture and our native ecosystems because many plants, especially those that produce fruit like pears, blueberries, peaches, and even citrus, require a certain amount of chill to enter dormancy and develop flower buds for the following spring. All fruit trees have a minimum chilling requirement to initiate flowering, depending on variety, and too few chilling hours equals poor to no fruit the following year. Too little cold can be just as harmful as too much. Now, chilling in trees acts in two stages. The first is reversible. Chilling helps to bring up the precursor to dormancy, but the process can be easily reversed with a rise in temperatures. After the level of precursor reaches a certain threshold, though, dormancy becomes irreversible and will not be affected by short-term warm temperature peaks. Apples have the highest chilling requirements of all fruit trees, followed by apricots and last, peaches. The Anna, Dorset Golden, and Tropical Sweet apples are recommended for Florida. Anna was bred in Israel in 1959, while Dorset Golden originated in the Bahamas in the early 1950s. Tropic Sweet was patented by the University of Florida in 1995. These cultivars each have a chilling requirement of 250 to 300 hours of temperatures below 45 degrees. They also require the accumulation of a substantial amount of heat units before the trees bloom in spring. Consequently, these three cultivars can be grown in Ocala and northward in Florida. The chilling of orange trees has two effects. First, it increases production of carotenoids and decreases chlorophyll content of the fruit, improving their appearance and ultimately their market value. Second, the quasi-dormancy experienced by orange trees triggers concentrated flowering in spring, as opposed to more or less uniform round-the-year flowering and fruiting in warmer climates. Biennial plants like cabbage, sugar beet, celery, and carrots need chilling to develop second-year flowering buds. Excessive chilling in the early stages of a sugar beet seedling, on the contrary, may trigger undesired growth of a flowering stem called bolting in its first year. This phenomenon has been offset by breeding sugar beet cultivars with a higher minimum chilling threshold. Such cultivars can be seeded earlier than normal without the risk of bolting, so that the cold temperatures that we had freezing at the first part of December was a really good thing to happen for our plants, and it will allow them to handle more cold temperatures this winter. So that's the dirty word of the day, chill hours, and we look forward to having a few more chill hours and we're going to get about 200 more here in Central Florida. Today on Facebook, I'm going to post a chill hour calculator that is good for the entire world. And anywhere where you are, you can look up how many chill hours you have had in your area and how many more to expect. That'll be on Facebook this afternoon. So if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Up, Dana. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and this is our last live show for the year, but we really, really want you to listen in next week. It is our two-hour special at Tom McCubbin, and you and I, Lizzie, we just have a great time, lots of fun, and some big announcements.
Yes, it's a brand-new show. It's just we won't physically be in the building because, well, we need some type of time off.
Yeah.
And, so we went ahead and pre-recorded it here recently. And Teresa's got some pretty cool information that she surprises Tom McCubbin with. And then also, she has some more information, too. So you need to catch that on the 28th. Same time, normal, the 7 to 8 here, wherever you're listening to.
7 to 9.
Oh, what did I do?
You're 7 to 8. Seven to nine, but sometimes some of our syndicated stations only do 1 hour. Tell them you want both hours.
From now on, just don't give me my cookies until the show is over. I've literally been getting up and running over to the other side of the studio and digging through going, what kind of flavor am I going to eat now? Thanks,
how
Tony.
How is the Black Forest cookies?
They were to die for. I've had Black Forest, but not like that. I know. Are so good.
Okay. Cookies. So at the beginning of the second hour, I always do a dirty word of the day. And this time, today's was chill hours. I wanted to give everyone, there's a lot of people out there that want to know how many chill hours they get in their area and how many's predicted for their area and how many we've had so far. And I will tell you, there's a great website. I'm going to give it to you now, but I'm also going to post it on our Facebook page. And it's called AgroClimate. All one word, agro, A-G-R-O, climate.org. You go under tools, and it will have the chill hour calculated for wherever you are in the world, okay? And so far in Orange County, Central Florida, we've had 57 hours of chill hours so far. That's a lot because all that cold weather that we had at the beginning of December. And today is the winter solstice. It's the shortest day of the year, the longest night of the year. So it's pretty cool to go on and see how many chill hours we've had. Last year, at the same time, we only had 14 chill hours. And so for the whole season, we are expecting to get, let me just see right here, over 220 chill hours. So you can go on and put in your zip code. You can put in your city and see how many chill hours you've had so far this year, how many we're going to get for the rest of the year, and really cool information. That's agroclimate.org. Because we have a lot of people out there, gardeners, who like to do the scientific and like to write in your journal. And so it's a really, really great website. 65 hours is usually the chill hours we've had at this time of the year. So we have had less than previous years, but we're anticipating another 150 plus hours more. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680 if you're in the garden area. And if you missed any of today's show, you can find it on betterlawns.com. Or you can go to iHeartRadio, and you can even subscribe to it so that you know when a podcast is dropped, and it just loads right up into your phone. And you can listen to it when you're doing yoga, when you're working in the garden, and wherever you'd like to be. I have a lot of people tell me they do it while they're walking. They listen to the show, and I really love that. So, you can subscribe for free. There's no spam with it. And we can, have a good time listening to the show whenever you want.
Yeah, there's sometimes it's like kind of like rewatching a movie. Like sometimes there's little things that you do miss. And so I go back and I listen to our podcast, especially whenever I'm trying to get back out into the yard and get things ready. So
and you can also too listen to shows that you missed in the previous years. So we have them going back to 2018. So that's, you know, you can go back and hear them all and listen to it. So whenever you would like. So we do appreciate that. December, what to do in your garden this month? Take the next 2 weeks off, okay? Nothing really to do very much, you know, between the holidays, the first couple of weeks of January. But let me just tell you, if you have a weed problem, usually, you know, we go through seasons, whether it's warm summer weeds, or warm winter or cold winter weeds, you know, annual, seasonal, that when we have 5 days of warm temperatures, weed seeds start to germinate. So if you do have a weed issue, you want to be prepared with a pre-emergent to use in the, you know, mid to end of January, first part of February, that will cut down on the amount of seeds, weed seeds germinating in your yard. So just kind of put that in the back of your mind. 5 days of warm temperatures, things start to grow. Mother Nature starts to produce, and you get those weed seeds germinating. Let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom. How can I help you?
Okay, so I'd like to comment on apples.
Yes.
You know, the fact is that people are growing apples in the hot, humid, lowland tropics. Mm-hmm. There's a book called Growing Apples in the Tropics. There's a nursery in Uganda called Kuffel, K-U-F-F-E-L, Creek, Apple Nursery. And you can go on YouTube and type in Grow Apples in the Tropics, and you'll see people growing apples in Kenya, and this is the lowland, in Barbados and Jamaica and stuff like that. So the idea that apples have to have a certain chill hours is questionable. In fact, the Honeycrisp apple, which supposedly requires 1,000 hours of chill, has grown and fruited in Irvine, California, and Riverside, California, and it doesn't get 1,000 hours of chill there.
No, you're right. And so it just depends on the variety. Okay, so the variety of the apples, you know, determines, you know, how many chill hours it requires. So the ones that are growing in the tropical regions, you know, like the Dorset Golden, which was, you know, originated in the Bahamas. So can we get these varieties here in Florida? Do you know where to get them?
Oh, you can order them from out of state. They'll come bare root. You have to deal with bare root.
Yeah, so, I'd be very interested.
People who are interested in this should check out the book, Growing Apples in the Tropics, and follow the advice there.
There you go.
Basically, most varieties will grow. For instance, the Gala apple will grow in the tropics.
Yes, it will. That is one.
And the King David will grow in the tropics.
Never heard of that one. Okay.
Well, that's a real, supposedly that's a very, very delicious apple. So anyways.
That's good to know, Tom.
Yeah. And can I follow up on something I called about a couple months ago?
Sure.
So I was having a situation with my cowpeas where I was finding the pod split open and all the peas gone, nothing. And I figured out what was causing that because there were pods that were split open, but they had tooth marks on them.
Uh-oh.
So I'm pretty certain that those ones where there's no tooth mark, you know, sometimes when you press a pod, it'll split open by itself.
Right, and when it's just ready to pop, yeah.
Right, so the ones that have tooth marks pretty much are the work of squirrels. So the ones without tooth marks are ones that a squirrel went after, and it just didn't leave a tooth mark.
A toothless squirrel.
Well, not toothless squirrel, but just a pod popped open with less pressure.
There you go. Well, thank you for the follow-up. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to get the book, Growing Apples in the Tropics. Thank you so much for the information, Tom. Merry Christmas. We're going to be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens and your phone calls. Stay tuned. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Joining us right now is Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist, sponsors of Better Lawns and Gardens. Good morning, Dana. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Teresa, good morning. Merry Christmas to you, too, and Lizzie.
Wonderful. It's so good to have you on. Your nursery is so full of Christmas holiday plants. The poinsettias are beautiful. It's a wonderful way.
They are this year, especially. I'm here standing in the nursery looking at the beautiful poinsettias, our new displays, and our raised bed that we're testing an electro system on, and looking at the firebush. It's a big standard that the hummingbirds have been visiting recently. That was blooming until a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wonderful. You know, you have a lot of different visitors that come to your nursery because it's so wonderful. What sizes of poinsettias do you have, and how much are they?
Well, we have 6-inch sleeved or unsleeved. The sleeves are green, naturally, and they are only $7 less. You know why this is a great time of year to get them?
Why?
Because we have a 20% off sale in the month of December.
Well, there you go.
So that is a special price, and it's like appreciation for all our great customers.
That's wonderful, because, I mean, people are still decorating for their Christmas parties and their Christmas family coming to them, so they can come by and they can get, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of them, because you have just a nice display there for them.
We do. We have lots of them, you know, dozens and dozens.
Well, it's supposed to be warm on Christmas Day, the mid to high 70s. What kind of care do poinsettias need when we got these temperatures going up and down, up and down?
Well, they're pretty easy, actually. Just wait till it warms up to plant them out in the yard, because they are a little susceptible to cold injury. But I've had some at the house, one in the front under my olive tree and one in the back, like in the alcove, that I've had for over 10 years. They're about 6 feet tall and full and bushy and full of those red bracts right now. And, you know, remember that I tell people they're not flowers, they're red bracts. The flower is actually a little yellow center of those red leaves.
That's right. And should they be planted right now, or when should they be planted holiday?
Plant them, you know, get them now, you know, while they're on sale, but then plant them like the end of February. And once they get established, you know, if you got them in a good protected spot, they will go for years like mine do.
That's wonderful. Now, do you prune yours back twice or two times a year?
Just once. I like to start early, like, I don't go past like the first part of August to prune them.
Okay.
I have better luck if you do the pruning earlier.
Okay, that's good to know. And so you talked about the hummingbirds. So even during the wintertime, Florida has pollinators, and the monarchs you were showing that were passing through on their way to you, you have lots of native plants for pollinators.
Exactly. We have those every day, even in the cool weather. It's amazing. They're on the milkweeds that are blooming right now, and some of the mist flowers and the zinnias. They like all of those. We also have some on the coreopsis and rudbeckia, the black-eyed Susan.
And so you have these native plants and also native trees. Now, pollinators need trees too as well. So what kind of native trees do you have?
Oh, we have a great selection of native trees. Red cedar, we have some native persimmons that are seedlings. Yellow anise, we have some Florida ligustrum. We have several types of holly trees, like yaupon holly that they make tea from, East Palack and Eagleston, and ball cypress. We have the oaks, live oak, and others. We have the little gem magnolia that the eastern tiger swallowtail is attracted to.
Oh, Simpson, I didn't know
stopper.
That.
Mm-hmm. And wax myrtles. So we have a great slate. We also have some coastal plain willows and the winged sumac.
Winged sumac is lovely. It gets a beautiful burgundy in the wintertime. And so,
oh, yeah, I can make great tea out of it. That attracts the red-banded hair-streaked butterfly.
Wonderful natives. Everybody should have some natives, if not all natives, in their yard. So that would be great. Now, do you recommend fertilizing or adding minerals this time of the year?
I do very lightly with a good quality fertilizer or minerals. Look at the label of your fertilizer, though, and then apply it like you would, like lightly salting a steak or something like that. Make sure that it has ingredients like potassium sulfate, potassium magnesium sulfate, and not too much potassium chloride, which they call muriate of potash, because that high salt index fertilizer with lots of chlorine and ammonium form will tend to promote too much weak growth that's susceptible to the cold. But if you just lightly sprinkle and spray with a good nutritional spray with trace minerals, I've found you actually increase your cold hardiness. The secret is light with a good low salt index fertilizer, either granular, very lightly, like you're lightly salting, or just a weak solution of your foliar fertilizer.
And so that's a lot of scientific names. If somebody was to come by, you would be able to explain to them what to do, and you have these products with you on your nursery.
We do. We make our own special fertilizers and potting soil and compost that have these low salt index materials, and you will find you will have far better success by using them, and you'll be way ahead many ways as far as the quality and health of the plants and the cost, because you just need to use it lightly with far better results at a lighter rate.
That's good. And so what about watering this time of the year?
Just cut back on the watering. I've got my system, like you talk about, just shut off. I think I've turned it on once since it started getting cool.
Yes, and so it lasts a little bit longer. So now you have fruit trees, you have native fruit trees, but you also have some really wonderful fruiting trees that will do well in Florida.
We do. We have some great tropic beauty, like plum trees, a lot of different types. We have the native persimmons and all types of native fruit trees that you will really enjoy looking around the nursery to see what we have. And some are deciduous, and they can be planted this time of year. Hardy, cold hardy natives can be planted, but just be careful, you know. Don't plant something that's a tropical that could be killed by a freeze.
Okay, so now what about olive trees and mulberries?
Yes, olive trees are really hardy if you plant them in the spring. I recommend to plant your olive trees like in February, mm-hmm. like the last part of February. Mm-hmm. Once they get established, the olive trees that we have will tolerate down into the teens with no damage.
And
like
so,
the Arbequina and the Coratinas and the other varieties we have, like the Chimlali.
That's wonderful. So now, a great Christmas present for gardeners, if somebody hasn't gotten theirs already, is to come by and get a gift certificate.
Yes, we have gift certificates. I sent one out this morning to a customer, and it's really one of the best gifts. It's so rewarding, you know, that you don't have to actually handle the plant, get your hands dirty, and just send it, and people love it because they can then come in at their leisure to get the plant.
And that's great. To me, I love gift certificates.
That's
gardeners always do, because then that means they can go buy more plants. And so I always love to see Christmas or gift certificates in my stockings and things like that. All my in-laws know that I love getting that. So that's
yes.
Wonderful. So now you're planning for next year. What kind of events are you thinking about or should people put on their calendars for coming to visit?
One thing I put on my calendar, January 2nd, I'm talking about edibles at the Land Garden Club. Friday, January 17th is Florida Arbor Day. We have Arbor Day early because our temperatures are warmer in Florida. And then make sure you put on your calendar Saturday, March the 29th. That's the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival. I'm talking on edibles in the wild. And you're giving a talk. What are you talking on the?
I have to check data. Oh, my goodness. It'll be about
I got it down. You're talking on edibles in the landscape.
That's it. I'm talking about edibles in the landscape. Thank you for the reminder. It is on my calendar, and I will be there with bells on. But it's a great festival. DeLand opens up. Lots of vendors come in bringing all sorts of art and sculptures and wind motion art and plants galore. Lots of native plant vendors.
It's a great festival. We even won the Governor's Choice Award several years ago. It is just so well attended that you won't believe how nice it is. It's something for the children. There's a shuttle going back and forth between the Arts Festival and Earl Brown Park. And just a wonderful, wonderful city.
That's March 29th, Saturday. I will be there. There will be speakers all day long. And DeLand has such wonderful restaurants and, you know, little shops to visit. So it'll be a great day.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dana,
really
so much.
Good time.
Tell everybody where you're located in DeLand so they can come see you.
335 West Michigan Avenue, just west of the Stetson campus on Michigan Avenue.
There you go, Dana. Thank you very much. Tell Stella Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You.
Give us a hug.
Have a great show. Thank you. I'll tell Stella.
All right, hon. Thank
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas, Dana. We'll see you in the new year. That's Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist. I always love to go there. He has such great fruit trees
yes.
and native trees. They will help you, but he has all of these fertilizers with specific formulas that you can come in and they will get so that you can take care of your plants and trees.
Yes, definitely. And he's an expert. I mean, I know you're an expert too, Teresa.
He knows too. So much more than me. So he is amazing.
Yeah, he has very good knowledge, and he also has a nursery, so you really should go check out his stuff.
Yeah, that would be great. And then just put on your calendars, March 29th, the Florida Wildflower Festival. It is so much fun. And we will be there and hope to see everyone there. We're going to be back now with your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go right to the phones. We have Jim from Winter Park. Good morning, Jim. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning. I had a New York put in, and they talked me into putting Provista in.
Okay.
For several reasons. I Googled it, and it's slower growing, and Roundup won't hurt it. What do you know about it? Because I know it's fairly new.
It's been out there for about 5 or 6 years, it has, and it's if not longer, but it's it can grow in the sun or shade. Only needs about 4 hours of sunlight, so it grows very slowly, and so it's a nice thick dense turf. It's bluish green, and you mow it about 3 to 4 inches high. What's going on with it?
Oh, it's only been in the yard about 8 weeks.
Uh huh.
And they said I could put a Roundup on it for the weeds.
Right.
I wouldn't. And that makes me a little nervous.
Well, you don't have to do it. I mean, I don't think I would do it. But, you know, right now you don't need to be putting Roundup. Do you have a weed issue with it?
Yeah, some of the weeds that didn't get killed are coming up through it.
Uh-huh. Do you know what kind they are?
Yeah, Bermuda.
Oh, it is Bermuda.
Yeah, we tried to kill them off, but hard to kill Bermuda.
It is. It's very, very, very hard. So right now it's a little cold, so I probably wouldn't do the Roundup right now. I would probably wait until, you know, mid-February to do it. How much Bermuda do you have growing up? Can you just spot treat it?
Yes, spot
okay.
treat.
Okay. I would spot treat. I would put the Bermuda, if you can, into a little plastic bag, then go ahead and spray the Roundup in it, and just leave it there for about 5 or 6 hours, and then pull it out. That will allow it to absorb it without getting it all over your grass. I hesitate to put it on your turf right now because it's only 8 weeks old. And I just don't want to disrupt the rooting process. So, I mean, if it was an established lawn, yes. Now, you can contact your company that put it in and see if they can guarantee it or warranty it if you put Roundup on it. But I just would hesitate to do it right now, especially in the winter with the cooler temperatures. And then, you know, it's not being established really well.
Okay. Well, the man that put it in didn't say that, but when I Googled it, it was bragging that all the this had things that St. Augustine couldn't, you know, couldn't do. And that was one of the things that said that you could do to this grass that St. Augustine you couldn't.
Okay,
but I was just leery about doing it.
Well, yeah, if you want to spot treat one area and see what happens with the grass, okay, you can do that. That way you don't do it to your whole entire yard, okay?
Okay.
But I think the cooler temperatures right now, the grass isn't growing right now. And that's one of the things that it needs to do is it needs to get absorbed and go into the root system. And when you're having these cooler temperatures and the grass is kind of going dormant or it's not really established, then it's going to be harder for the grass to absorb it. That's why I'm saying wait a little while till it warms up, and then when it's growing, it will handle it better.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. You know, I am leery too of it as well, putting herbicide, but he can spot treat that one area. Now, we had a call a couple of weeks ago about the Starburst Clearodendron, and when he asked how to get rid of it, I, said to him, honestly, you need to dig it up and put it in a pot because you're not going to be able to keep it from suckering. And so I did not answer to our caller's, satisfaction because he wanted to have an herbicide solution to it. Here's the issue, that the Starburst Clearodendron is an ornamental, tropical. And so it's not the same thing as spraying an herbicide on around an oak tree, okay, because the roots spread, the rhizomes spread and come up, and it can come up like 20 feet away, but that plant is still attached by roots underneath the Starburst Clearodendron. So anything that you put on the suckers is going to may affect the original plant. So that's why I did not offer an herbicide treatment for it. Is dig it up. You can dig up the suckers too as well and dispose of them, but it is a problem with the Starburst Clearodendron. They do tend to take over your yard, and that's why I took it out of my yard, because I was having it pop up 20 feet away, and they get big. These Starburst Clearodendrons get to be 15 feet tall, 10 to 15 feet tall, and get very kind of, they get large, and then they just sucker everywhere. So that was my one thing that I did. So that's why I didn't give you an herbicide solution. I would hesitate to do it, but I just don't think they should go in the ground.
Yeah, that makes me really nervous. But see, we we put in our own sod, and the dirt that we had to lay down before, because we needed sand. It's just our whole setup, we needed sand to put underneath it, kind of to mix it. Then we ended up with the stinging needles.
Yes.
I don't know what it looks like a bad wig in certain spots. I mean, it was Bahia. So, I mean, you're going to get what you get because we don't care. We have pasture. Yes. But I'm like going through, and now we have stickers. And I'm like,
sand spurs.
I'm like, when did the devil come stomping through our yard? Because this is horrible. So, yeah, I'm doing the spot treatment now.
Yeah,
so.
do the spot treatment, and that works well. Mm-hmm. But I just hesitate to do it to the whole yard.
Oh, yeah, something new.
Or something that's not established. And 8 weeks, it should be established, but we had that cold snap, mm-hmm. and we're going into cold temperatures now. So, mm-hmm. I kind of just am very leery of it. So,
that was a good question.
Yeah,
good call.
Very good question.
Don't ever think you guys have stupid or dumb questions or it's something that we probably already know. No, you have no clue. You as listeners have helped not only me, but you've helped other listeners not feel dumb. So, if you can help me not feel dumb, boy, let me tell you what, you must be dumb. No, I'm kidding. Jokes.
No.
Too much sugar.
Too much sugar. She's wiring. She's bouncing off the walls here, Tony. And so again, this is our last live show, and we can
Stick around next week because it will be a pre-recorded
special.
New.
Yes,
special.
Special with Tom McCubbin, who we dearly love. And we want to wish Tom and Joni and Melanie a very, very Merry Christmas. Everybody out there, a very Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And just everyone be careful. We're going to be traveling to Massachusetts. So It's going to be warm up there, too. But it looks like we may get a chance. We're going to try and go to Vermont a little bit for a day or so. And it looks like we are going to get a little bit of snow, possibly. But it looks like it's going to warm up north. So that is that's a good thing. And warming up, I mean, like it's just going to warm up into like the 30s. So it's not going to be.
I was going to say, because you said it was warm. And I'm like, you're going to Massachusetts.
Yeah. And so, but we're going to then come back. So we will be back, you know, and just it'll be good to go up there and see it and go, you know, it's time to go home.
Facts.
That's it.
Facts.
So right now, you know, the temperatures for next week, Christmas is going to be warm. It's going to be in the 70s, which is nice. It's nice weather for your family coming down from all the up north states and everything like that. We do want to wish our sponsors, our advertisers, a very Merry Christmas. Black Cow and also Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Quality Green Specialists, and Peterson's Nursery. And if you would like to advertise, we would love to hear from you. But all of our sponsors are such great products. Let them know that you listen to Better Lawns and Gardens and that you appreciate them sponsoring the show so that we can provide it free of charge on iHeartRadio.
Oh, Howie just texted me the pictures of his roses from Peterson Nursery and them planting, you know, and I'm just like, did you do this just to rub it in, just to make me go, I cannot wait. Like, it's going to be like Black Friday in my mind of waiting outside their facility to get in and get roses.
Have you made your list of what kind of varieties?
Oh, yeah. No, I took pictures last year because the people beat me there. So I will probably clothesline a few people in the process.
There you go.
And yeah.
So when we come back in the new year, we'll give you our favorite roses. I'd love to do that. And so we want to thank everybody for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. It's been a fabulous year. We look forward to next year. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of organic mosquito bits and dunks, and Summit Green Armor Insect Repellent, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Remember, you can go to our website, betterlawns.com, and catch everything that you have missed on our show. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to you all.